Good morning, church. Cool cardiologist. Oh my God, man. Jeez. My reputation. I know. Dr. Trapps, right. First of all, I just want to again thank the church for the opportunity to come and speak about something that's fairly dear to my heart. And I thought the Ho Chi, where are you? Oh, there he is. Ho Chi, you did an awesome job this morning. Amen. I think about 24 years, is that right? 24 years of amazing faith. Think about all that he shared that happened while he was here. What's also exciting is he's taken a new journey, aren't you? A new step of a faith. I think about my wife. You know, I'm a diamond in the rough. I'm still a diamond in the rough, but I was really a diamond in the rough when she met me. I mean, I was at Yale. I'm not sure many of you, if you were at the campus ministry at Yale, would have reached out to me. You said, this guy's a lost cause. She stuck with me. She's hung with me. She had not only faith in her God, she had faith in me. And we've made it through so that now after, what, 39 years of marriage, we have an awesome marriage. I'm more in love than ever with her. And we've traveled the world. We started a new business. We've raised two girls. It's because of her amazing faith. Are y'all with me on this? So today I want to just take a few minutes to talk about what faith means to me. I put up here amazing faith. I know in the scripture, there's a scripture that Jesus says, according to your faith, it will be done. So my encouragement, I hope today, as I focus on this, is that I can encourage all of us, according to our faith, to fight for amazing faith. I know that Rob Novak shared several things, but his last point that he talked about was getting out of our comfort zone and being bold. That's what I want to talk about today, being bold. If you go to the next slide here, I think scripture, Hebrews 11:6, says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he what? Exists, and that he what? Rewards those who earnestly seek him. I think God loves it when we have incredible faith. Incredible faith, number one, will drive us to God. Because if you've ever done something you didn't think you could do, if you ever believed or tried something you didn't think you could do, what's one of the first things you do? Is you pray. Whether you are a disciple or Christian or whether you're in the world, whatever, whenever there's something crazy going on that you need to accomplish, our tendency, because of our concept about who's up there, our creator, is to do what? Is to pray. I think he loves that. I think he really likes that. It draws us closer to him, and he wants to surprise us. You say, well, what does that mean? Let's go to the next slide. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance of what we do not see. Confidence of what we hope for, an assurance of what we do not see. Next slide. So, I don't know how to explain that except to talk about my life a little bit and my journey. All right? And basically, it begins in childhood. Can I take this off? Excuse me. All right, here. Are we ready? Okay. So I'm going to talk a little bit about. So probably by the age of 8, somewhere around in elementary school, I knew I wanted to be a doctor. I don't really know why. I don't know. I mean, I watched TV shows. I watched other things. But there was something that kept pulling me toward it. I also knew, even back then, partly because of my family and my upbringing, I wanted to serve God. I don't think I knew how or how it was going to all work out. But even at that young an age, I had some concept that there was a God. I also had some concept I wanted to do something great, something cool, something fun. I wanted to make a difference in the world. Ultimately, what I learned and what the scripture teaches us is that Just believing is not enough. It's not what you believe you can do or what you think you can do. It's what you actually do. That's faith in part. You believe it, but then you act on it. You believe it, and then you live it. That's faith. For example, becoming a cardiologist, I could have thought that all I want. But I had to figure out, I had to go to school. I had to do well in school. I had to make certain choices. I had to make certain sacrifices. To do well, to have a marriage after 39 years, we have an awesome marriage. But if you know our story, there's been some scary points, man. There's been some low points. There's been some dives that you would say, boy, I don't know. I don't think he's going to make it. We had to choose by faith to do what we need to. For Sonia and I, it's always been, this ship made me sinking, but we're not getting off the ship. We're going to make sure this ship, we're going to ride it, and it's going to stay on float. Because in our mind, by faith, it was going to work. You with me on that? By faith, I became a disciple. As a young kid, I knew that there was a God. I had my own ideas from my upbringing about how to serve him. But through time and keep seeking and fighting and figuring it out and struggling, you know, through college and grad school and all, finally, someone reached out to me. I began to study, and I became a disciple. It's by faith. And it's still a journey. I'm still growing and understanding what that means. There were a lot of obstacles in that path, a lot of Goliaths that I faced. I don't know where you're at in the church. I know there's some incredible stories of faith. Well, to sort of hopefully inspire. I'm sharing mine, but there are many others. But no matter who you talk to in this church about this, I'm sure if you talk to Hochi, he would share there were some crazy Goliaths down the road. Fear of failure, cost, pain, suffering, disappointment, you name it. People telling you, you can't make it, you can't do it. Next slide, please. So what I learned, there's a couple of qualities that I learned that has really helped me. I mean, there could, you might think of some others, but I'm sharing what helped me and has helped my faith to continue to grow. One is heart to allow God to inspire me and to keep inspiring me to want to do something crazy or great or whatever. Courage to take the first step. You got to take a step to go to school, to go to college, to become a doctor. You got to take a step to get married, right? First, you got to start dating, brothers. Otherwise, not happening, right, Ray? You got to take a step. You got to have courage. And then you have to have humility. You have to be willing to talk and get input and to recognize when you fail and to allow people in your life to help you with it. And finally, most importantly, I think you got to persevere. Most things in life are not a straight line. Most things in life are very crazy and crooked. And many times, in the heat of battle, it just looks like it's not going to happen. Are you with me on that, church? So I think those are some things that I've learned. So because of this, though, I've seen a successful practice built in a community that perhaps I shouldn't be so successful at because of who I am. I have an amazing marriage, amazing family, an incredible relationship and friendship. I'm not really a good friend maker. I'm kind of a loner. But because of God and because of vision, I have some best friends in the church. I have people. I have people in my lives. I have my family group as well as other people that have enriched my life amazingly. And finally, you say, all right, you're a cardiologist. You made it. Well, not really. We're continually striving to find new mountains and battles to fight. Are you with me on that, church? Because we're disciples. We're Christians. It never ends until we get to heaven. There's always something we can do to glorify God. So I started a new practice. Crazy at this age, man. I should be retiring. What am I doing? What are you doing? Especially the healthcare where it is now. You watch the news, right? Who knows what's going to happen? I started a new practice. Woo! My wife and I decided that we wanted to re-evangelize our community. So we went around sharing our faith. I remember when we first became Christians at University of North Carolina, us doing that with a little daughter. Now we're doing it as empty nesters. Our neighbors thought we were crazy, but we did it anyway.
Faith.
Whew. My oldest daughter is getting married. And I made a bid to take over a hospital. I don't know if that's going to work out, but I'm talking about crazy faith. Are you with me on that? All right, let's get going. All right. Let's take a look at a story here. Hold on one second. Bear with me. Turn over to Genesis 37, verse 5. While I get situated here, you can turn. My technology, I'm challenged a little bit, guys, so you know. Okay, here we go. We turn over at, thank you, Ray. So Genesis 37, chapter 5. Now, this is talking about Joseph, one of my favorite stories. I encourage this as a story for all of us to read, but I really want to encourage our young people to read this story, our youth, because I think it's an amazing story about how God deals with dreams. Now, if we think about Joseph, he was a young 17-year-old kid, right? Born, I think he had 11 brothers, right? He's probably one of the youngest, if not the youngest. He was probably spoiled, based on what we read. He was daddy's favorite, running around tailing on everybody, all right? Maybe a little bratty, all right? And in the context of this, he says this in verse 5. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaves rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. This is probably a natural response with siblings, right? His brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. That's crazy, right? That's a crazy dream, actually. He tells it again. If you read the scripture, he tells it again a second time. And then his father rebukes him. Although his father's a little wiser. He said he rebukes him, but then he says he keeps it in mind. Now, parents, how many times have you heard your children say something crazy like that? And you're like, hush now. What are you talking about? Right? What's going on here? Well, that was Joseph. He had this dream at 17 years old. How old was Jesus when he was in the temple talking to his parents like, I don't know that boy. Where is he? What's going on? He was 12, right? How old was David when he knocked out Goliath? 15. What's the age we go to war in this country? 18, 19, right? Still babies, just a youth. You telling me even at that age you can't have crazy dreams and be idealistic and expect incredible things to happen? Absolutely. So, if you think about it, next slide. I want to talk about what do you think? Can you guys see? Can you see this? Okay, I'll move it this way. All right, so let's talk about this. What is God calling you to do? First of all, we will never made it to the moon unless someone thought it, believed it, and did it. Think about all the naysayers and obstacles to getting there. Next slide. The human body, the anatomy. You know, for centuries, if you tried to figure out how the human body was made, you could die, go to jail, be beheaded. Somebody had the courage, the vision, the willingness to define the human body so that we do what we do today. Who in this room? Who in terms of young people have crazy dreams like that? Next slide. There's Obama, and then there's Sonia Sotomayor, right? Obama was raised by a single mom, right? We hear all the statistics about what happens to families for young men, particularly raised by moms and single things. What did he do? Who would have thought it? Do you think he was thinking about that as a young age? I don't know if he thought exactly that way, but knowing his personality, knowing what he's done, I bet you he was motivated from a very young age. I'm going to do something great. I'm not going to let my circumstances define me. And then Sonia Sotomayor, Latino and a woman, on the highest court in this country. It doesn't happen by accident. It happens by faith, by vision, by believing, by doing what it takes to believe you can be where God wants you to be to make a difference. Next slide. Sam Powell and Cindy Powell. Hey, yeah. Right? Leading one of the biggest churches in our movement as an evangelist, right? Making a difference. I know he's a disciple and he studied and he was doing things on campus, but there's something about him that got him and Cynthia to where they were. They had a vision, they had a dream, and look at what they're doing and the difference they're making. Next slide. Albert Einstein, theory of relativity, right? You know that at early age he had learning disabilities? Most people didn't think he was a genius. They thought he had a problem. I can think, a lot of times parents, we'll talk to some of our parents and they have kids sometimes are having difficulty and stuff. You just got to go and start reading about the amazing stories of how people overcome different things. Michael Jordan, basketball player, didn't start playing until he was in high school. You think to be that great, you should start when you're like 5 years old, right? Made history. It's never too late, and don't let people define you. Let God define you. That's amazing faith. Next slide. Mark Ottenwaller. How many know who he is, right? He's a missionary, but he was a physician, internal medicine physicianary, had a busy, big practice down south, decided to leave that practice and become a missionary, and now is helping to fight a global fight against HIV around the world through hope and through his work there, through Africa and other places. Changing the world. Tell me you can't do something with crazy dreams like that. You have the dreams. Next slide. So now if you look at Joseph, we know that Joseph has some opposition. Next slide. And there are different things that can get in the way of us. That's part of what happens. A lot of times, and when we're young, I remember having these crazy ideas and things I was thinking about, but there's lots of naysayers and people to tell you, well, yeah, well, you know, you can't make it, or you need to think, or you need to set your goals a little lower. I think I'm going to use an example one time of me and my mom. I basically wanted to play the drums. Wow. And my parents said, oh, you want to play an instrument? This is when I was in elementary school. So they took me down to the school to look at the instruments. I kept going over to the drums. They kept taking me over to the horn section. They gave me a trombone to play. You know what? I was respectful. I listened to them. I played that trombone for 2 or 3 years. But I never got what I really wanted to do, Ray. I got to high school. I got my own job. I got my own money. Guess what was one of the first things I bought? A drum set. I bought that drum set, and my mom finally said, I guess you really want to play the drums. Rest is history. I persevered with the idea, but I waited for God to allow the opportunity. I didn't disrespect my parents, but they didn't totally understand. I gave them time to get it, but I held on to that dream. I held on to what it was that we needed to do. We also find that sometimes our leaders, our community leaders, I remember when I was in school, one of my teachers told me that I would never be a cardiologist, that I'd be a frustrated football player, not a regular football player, but playing in the minor leagues. Right in front of a whole class, he said that. This is what I was thinking. I was in the sixth grade at the time, or seventh grade. Man, that could devastate you, right? Of course, from my perspective, you know what that did for me? That made me mad. I was like, what are you talking about? I'm going to prove you wrong. That's always kind of been that way, right, Sonia? Every time something like that happens, I tend to want to, of course, you got to be careful. It could be pride, right, Russell? You got to kind of tailor it a little bit. But if it's because of what God wants you to do, then doggone it, you better be strong. You better say, no, that's not how I'm defining myself. I'm going to let God define me. I'm going to have amazing faith. We can have our legal system often can oppress us. And there's the things we even see today in the news for some of us are facing that can discourage, especially our young people, thinking, we can't do this. This is not going to happen. We can become from, we may not be a citizen. You may be in a foreign country. That could be a disadvantage. That's something that was experienced with Joseph. Maybe it's your youth, your age. That's a big one. Oh, you're too young, boy, girl. You know, you don't know what you're talking about. Be quiet. You don't know what's going on, right? You feel that. People can minimize your dream because of your age. You got to hold on to that dream. It could be your race. We live in a great country, but it's not without its faults. And people of color particularly will experience negativity that will undermine your desire and your dreams. The only way I know to fight that is to hold on to God, hold on to Jesus. Because if you let God define who you are, it don't matter what other people say or think. Otherwise, you'll find yourself living out what they think about you as opposed to living out what God thinks about you. Are you with me on that? That's something I've had to learn and continue to learn in my life. Amen? And I would expand that to also say other issues besides race can be. Maybe you have a handicap. Maybe it's because of gender. There are other issues within our society that puts us at a disadvantage. We can let it not be a disadvantage. We can have great faith. And on and on. Next slide. So, do you have competing voices as a young person? Do you have someone saying, just not good enough, fast enough, smart enough, strong enough, so I guess I just won't dream, I'll just sort of go through life? Please don't do that. I know our dreams and our aspirations may come at different stages in life. Just because you may not really have a burning desire, if you wait on God, I guarantee you, he's going to put something on your heart, whether it's now, whether it's high school, whether it's college, even as a young adult. But you got to be ready to hear it. You got to be willing to allow it to work. Say, yes, you can. Why not? You have everything you need. Next slide. Y'all see this? Children, young people. Don't let anyone steal your dream. Have amazing faith. Let me say that again. Don't let anyone steal your dream. The key is your relationship with God and the vision he's given you. But if it's from God and it's your vision, whether it's your family, whether it's the community, whether it's school, whatever it is, don't let anyone steal your dream. Hang on to it. Amen. Next slide. If we could turn over now to 1 Samuel 14, verse 1, please. How we doing? How we doing, church? Are we hanging in there? All right. So now I want to expand this a little bit and talk to the whole church. I want to talk about Jonathan. In 1 Samuel 14, verses 1, I'm just going to read that, although I would encourage you to read verses 1 through 14 in your quiet times. It's a pretty inspiring story. So, to set the scene, basically Saul was with 600 men hiding under some tree. He's surrounded by the Philistine. His enemy is all around him, and the enemy has the high ground. They don't even have any weapons because the Philistines had gone and confiscated or taken or stopped all the blacksmith in the area from making weapons, anything of iron. The only two people who had weapons at that time were Saul and his son, Jonathan. And so Jonathan, in the setting of this, says, one day Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side. All right, let's define what that means. The outpost was on a cliff, all right? So there were two cliffs and there was a pass underneath. So Jonathan was on one side and the Philistines were high up on the other side. So from a strategic standpoint, they had the advantage, right? Number two is just him and his armor bearer. There's two people. And they had like 20 or so of these guys up there at the top of that post. Now, isn't that crazy? How many of y'all would say that? That sounds insane to me. Oh, come on, let's just go on up and let's pick a fight. Let's go on, let's go for it, right? Most of those guys were just hiding. But what did Jonathan do? Jonathan, he didn't just think about it, he did, we know he had a relationship with God because he said, if God wants us to do it, they will call us up. Now, I would have said the reverse. If God wants to do it, they wouldn't call us up. Then we'll go out. But no, he said, if God tells us, if they tell us, come on up, then we're going to go up. And you know, the rest is history. They go up, they kill 20 of those troops. Not only that, they inspired those 600 men, and they rally, and then they win the battle against the Philistines. Now think about all of that. Next slide, please. And you think about all the things that he faced, all the challenges that he faced. I know as a church, we have some incredible stories, some incredible examples of faith in our church. The longer you live, though, and the more you fight, the more you also have battles that you feel like you lost or been beat up. You with me on that, church? I don't know if there are people in here who said, man, I've had great ideas. I've had great aspirations. That's great, you talking to the young people about all these things. But I tried all that, and much of what I tried has fallen flat. Or maybe there is some sin that you can't overcome, or some addiction that you've tried and you tried, and you're just defeated. You feel like there's no hope. You're demoralized like these troops were. You're surrounded. You feel weak. You feel like you're hanging on to your faith, but really, at this stage, I'm not sure what's going on. I want to encourage you. I know for me, I have times like that. With me, I believe deeply in something I want to do. But that means that when it doesn't work out, I believe God's going to help me. How many of you guys believe that? When you pray and you start off in your day, you say, I know it's going to happen, right? So when it doesn't happen or something crazy happens, I'm sometimes emotionally and spiritually devastated because I really believe God was going to deliver that situation. Are you with me on that, church? Can you read me that? I'm trying to keep it real here, all right? How we doing? All right? So it is important to have great faith, but we're human. And also, we can't always see what God sees. And we don't. A lot of times in my prayers, I'm saying, I don't understand. I don't understand it. I'm trying to accept it, but I don't understand it. Right? You with me on that? That's what's happening here. Does God still want us to have amazing faith? Yes. I think he wants us to be just like Jonathan. Go pick a fight. Go pick a battle. Refocus. Trust me. Because he says, and the long run is still going to work out. I'm going to reward you. You're going to do okay. Jonathan showed, next slide, please. Jonathan showed that he had heart. He allowed God to fuel his vision. He was courageous because he acted. He made a choice. He was also humble. He asked for help. He had an armor bearer. Plus, he prayed to God and waited for God to tell him. He didn't just run off on his own now. That's part of the key. It's his relationship with God. His faith is only as strong and as good as what you base it in, right? There's a lot of great things. People base their faith, for example, in our country. It's a great country, but it's not as strong as good as God. Faith, sometimes we base it on a person, our marriage, our relationship. Sometimes that can work for you for a while. It's not as strong, as powerful, as good as God. Faith is only as strong as it's what you base it in. He waited for God, but once he got the signal, what did he do? He moved. He persevered also because most of the troops were on the defensive and hiding. He kept being optimistic in his face, looking for an opportunity to make a change. All right, let's turn over to Matthew 14, verse 23. I want to talk a little bit at the end here just about, well, what are these qualities I'm talking about? How did they actually help me? And hopefully maybe can help some of us as we try to grow our faith. We're going to look at Jesus, the story of Jesus walking on water. All right, so in verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that day, he was alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by waves because of the wind against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when he climbed into the boat, the wind died. It's a great story, isn't it? How many of you would like to walk on water? I would. I think it'd be kind of cool, right? Can you hear me? Okay. I think it'd be kind of cool. So let's take our first slide here. So let's look at what Peter did. Let's see if we can learn some lessons from him. First lesson is heart. Peter had a lot of heart. Now, imagine yourself in that boat. All right? What would you do if you see somebody walking on water? Now, I think naturally you might be a little frightened at first, right? But once you realize who it was, you might also say, I know a lot of the kids would say this, "Can I come? Can I come? Can we get out? It's awesome, man. Walking on water? Are you kidding me?" What happened to the other 11? I bet you they thought that. They first were frightened, but then they said, "Wow, that's pretty good." But they chose to stay in the boat. What did Peter decide to do? He decided to get out. We need to allow God to keep inspiring us with our vision and dreams to have amazing faith. I think it starts with your relationship, through the word, through prayer, through the things that you spend time with. But it doesn't stop there. It stops through life, through people in your life that can inspire you. And I believe through the Holy Spirit or through intuition, many times he plants things on our hearts to do. Don't crush that. Allow God to build that in your heart, to move it to a point to get you ready to do something great. Next slide. Next thing Peter exhibits is courage. Only one got out of the boat is who? Right? The water's a little, you know, it's a little windy, the water's deep. Peter took the first step. See, part of the thing is, once you have an idea, you can't get there until you act on it. That's what part of what faith is about. You have, if you're studying the Bible, right, that's awesome. But you at some point have to make a decision to what? To do something about that. If you want to get married, that's great. But at some point, you have to do what? You got to make a decision to do something about that to get married. If you want a great job, a great career, that's awesome. But you first have to make a decision to choose to do something to have courage. Now, if you think about this in context, Peter knew who Jesus was. Peter had been with Jesus. Peter had other opportunities with Jesus. So it doesn't mean that overnight your faith may not be where it needs to be, but by little steps of courage, you make a plan, you make an example, you decide what you want to do, you start making small choices, small decisions, and let God bless those decisions. He will get you stronger and get you to the point where you will get out that boat. Are you with me? But it won't happen unless you have courage. Courage and faith is funny. It's like exercising a muscle. The more you do it, the stronger you get. The less you do it, the weaker you get. You want to have great faith, you have to act on it. And even if you feel your faith is not where it needs to be right now, start with small steps, little things. Figure out a plan. I want to do this. I want to do that. You know, I want to become a Christian. Maybe a good start is to start reading your Bible, right? That's the first step. And then go from there. Next slide. Humility. It also took humility. First of all, Peter's the only one got out of the boat. What do you think the other guys are seeing? Man, that guy, you know, look at him. You know, he's always messing up, you know. He's going to look kind of foolish, right? Anytime you share an idea, a crazy dream, you can look for. When I was sharing at times to some people, I shared what I wanted to do as a cardiologist. Not everybody jumped up with joy.
Some people said, you can't do that. Who you think you are? You can look foolish. And also, when you put it out there, what if it fails? What if it doesn't work out the way you think it's going to work out, right? Then you're going to still feel foolish. You have to be willing to be humble. Number two, you also need to find people who can help you get what you need, where you need to go. I say this to everyone, but especially to the young people. You need to find, and what's cool today in our church is that we have many, many people who've done many, many great things, but not just in the ministry, but in life itself and in careers. You find faithful disciples in careers and desires that you want. You start talking to them. How do you do it? How did you do it? Why did you do it? What motivated you? But that's also true for the church in general. And it's not just about careers. It's about having a great family, a great relationship, a great ministry, whatever. Talk to the people who can really help you and who can help you get where you need to go. Amen? And finally, perseverance. Perseverance, Peter found that he walked for a little bit, but then he sank, but he reached out his hand, and what did he do? Jesus pulled him back up in the boat. We know from history that Peter did not give up. He goes on to be one of the greatest apostles that in the movement, right? So number one, I'm going to talk about perseverance of focus. Once God has put on your heart what you need to do, and this is something that's worked really well for me, you can ask my wife, I'm crazy about focusing. Once I know this is it, I'm on it. Nothing's going to deter me. I need to make that work. Now, how does that work? Because there are things that happen collectively as a church that are really important, and we need to be a part of all that and be unified. So how is a busy cardiologist, how can you do that and be a disciple and do all that? Because you really need to be a disciple, right, Russ? We don't get a pass. Do I get a pass as a cardiologist? Oh, okay. Well, no. So we need to do that. But on the other hand, we're also called uniquely to serve God in a unique way that the church, no one else can do but you. And you cannot sell that short. You need to stand up and only you can do that. What I tell a lot of my young professionals is I say, when you're working with your discipling partner, help them understand what you have to go through, what it really takes, so that they can do a better job of helping you be a disciple and not thinking that you have a bad heart if you're missing something. You with me on that? The other side of it, if you're discipling someone that has a crazy dream, don't you want them to glorify God? So the thing you want to do is figure out how to help them stay faithful and righteous before God, but fulfill their purpose and mission in life. There's always a tension there. It's never very easy because God expects us to do everything excellently, not just be the church and share your faith, which we must do excellently, but if you're supposed to be a cardiologist or you're supposed to have a great marriage or you're supposed to raise your kids, he expects you to do what? That excellently too. It's not an either or. It's a matter of doing it all according to God's plan. Not everybody can be a president of a country or a neurologist, neurosurgeon, and make it to heaven. I do believe that. But I believe some of us can and are called to do that. And that's part of the guys figuring out what God is calling for. You with me on that, church? All right. Next slide. We can skip that. Keep going. Okay, stop there. All right, so I want to end here. It says in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Amen? So, church, what are we going to be defined as? We are writing the new Hall of Faith. Hebrews 11, in my opinion, is you heard of the Hall of Fame? Well, Hall of Faith is Hebrews 11. But you guess what? Every generation rewrites that. In fact, one of my encouragements is maybe through the church, maybe someone in church can develop a little website or something that lists and tells stories of our, because there's so many amazing stories in this room of faith that can encourage us to have faith. And also to help us find people who we can connect with what we're trying to aspire to do. That might be something we can actually do. Amen? But we need to have that because people are looking down on us from up above. And even people recently who've gone with us are looking at us and wondering what we're going to do. So number one, find your battle and fight for victory. Let your heart be inspired. Make a plan. Have the courage to take the first step. Humbly share your dream with others, especially those who can help you. You know, positive energy? How about righteous, faithful energy? What do you think of that? Share with people who can actually help you. So I want to encourage everyone, but again, the young people, I'm going to encourage you to go deep. Always start talking. Don't be afraid to talk to older disciples in this room who you want to find out what do they do? How did they get where they were? How were they successful? Where they're at? You need to make a connection. That's an assignment I want to give our youth. But I can extend that even beyond that. I think maybe even as adults, we can help each other. Are you with us on that? And finally, you have to persevere. It's not a straight line. There are ups and downs. But that's part of what faith is all about, right? I guarantee you, God has your back. Amen.